Let us pray. Holy One, we need your wisdom, and so we seek it in your scriptures. We seek it when we gather together. Bless us this day with your wisdom. Amen. There's a song I like, and because my voice is a little scratchy, I'm not going to sing it this morning. But it starts like this. In this time of fear, when prayer so often seems in vain, hope seems like a summer bird, so swiftly flown away. But we are standing here, although we know there's much to fear, seeking faith and speaking words we never thought we'd say. There can be miracles if we believe. By Kenneth Evans. Love is a sweet word, but sweeter is the deed. To be always speaking love is not in our power. Our tongue has not such leisure. But though we may not always be speaking love, we may always keep it. We do not sing Alleluia every hour, but barely during a few moments of 1 hour, and then turn to something else. Praise God is what the Alleluia means, but we cannot always be singing Alleluia, though it is what gives life meaning. We are not always praising with our tongues, but if by our lives and conduct we can praise God, we can praise God every hour. That's from the beginning of a sermon by Augustine. What's that now? 1,600 years old, that sermon is. And it's a wonderful summer day today, and we want above all to be able to relax into the joys of summertime, because there are salmon running in the river, and all around us is the bounty of summer, peaches and berries, and I think just outside here there's tomatoes and kale and flowers and many other things. Long summer days. And there are so many reasons for celebration for us here. But some of them come tinged with fear and sadness. Today in Richmond, many of my friends will be celebrating that David Waynes has returned home. And those of you who don't know David, David has been a missionary in Liberia and the Côte d'Ivoire for most of his life. His wife, Audrey, and her family have a farm just down in South Richmond. They're embedded in this community, but they've worked almost all their lives in Africa. He spent most of this past year in prison in Liberia on trumped-up charges, and he's come home now with stories of the ways that Christians are persecuted in that part of the world, and not just Christians, of course, but anyone who questions how things are. There are stories of horror and imprisonment, hopelessness and death. And stories also of faith and perseverance and possibilities and grace. People have come to me this week in grief at what is happening in the world, saying things like, "It's so wonderful here and it's so warm and it's such a lovely time, and yet I am caught in grief." Because we read about Iraq and the murders of Christians in Iraq and Syria and the murders of children in Syria. We read about North Africa, where Christians and Muslims who have been neighbors for centuries are fighting each other in their own streets. And we read about Missouri, where generations of racism and violence never seem to end. And on the Mexican border, where people who say they are Christians stand on the roadside and shout hatred at terrified and lonely children. So in the midst of this bounteous and beautiful summer, while we feast and share rightly and laugh and enjoy, we also find ourselves confused and in grief. And we speak among ourselves of our grief, but we feel powerless in the face of the evil and the hatred. And worst of all, we find ourselves afraid. Afraid to speak and afraid to act. The fear is catching and the fear is promoted by those who will benefit from fear. So today, we choose instead to speak of love. And so first we read from John's description of love. But I was inspired by the words of Augustine, and it helps to perhaps have a little bit of background on Augustine. Augustine was an African. He was one of our Christian church's very first bishops. And he wrote about love to people who were fighting with one another in the streets. Christians fighting Christians and neighbors battling with neighbors. To really understand Augustine, you need to remember that as a young man, he led a wild and dissolute life. He liked to drink, and he liked women. And everyone knew this. So, remember those very first words that he writes. Love is a sweet word, but sweeter is the deed. Yes, it's a double entendre. He speaks of two things. It's as if he starts off talking about sex so people will listen, and then he goes on to speak of love in a way that people need to hear. We speak of love in church, but it's so easy to walk out of here into the world and forget. So somewhere around the year 420, Augustine wrote about love, and he moved from that general word for love that allowed him to make that pun to the word that we often translate as charity, meaning the love of humankind and the love of neighbor. And he says this: practice always works of mercy, affections of charity, sanctity of prayer, incorruptibility. And being who he was, he also mentioned sobriety. Notice he doesn't just say do it. He says practice it, because it needs practice and because we aren't good at it. Because there are times when the world seems set against it. And sometimes our greatest fear is that we will look foolish in the acts of love and charity. Foolish. While the world tears itself apart, we feel foolish to speak of love and act in love. Isn't that strange? We know better, but still. So Augustine says, practice. Practice in public, practice at home, practice before others, alone in your chamber, when speaking and when holding your peace, whether occupied with something or at leisure. Because all the virtues are within you. For in the same way that an emperor does what he will with his government, so Jesus within us uses those virtues as his ministers. In practicing the virtues, Augustine says, we come to see in Christ's eyes. So as you were listening to the reading this morning, it might have struck you, or it might not, that John speaks particularly of brotherly love, and some of that gets a bit lost in the translation in English. That we should love our brothers and sisters, and over in that passage, in the original Greek, John writes about brotherly love. You don't hear in this passage so much about the love of the enemy. And Augustine pointed this out also, that this particular passage speaks of brothers and sisters, not of enemies, and not of those far off. But Augustine was a wise man. He reminded his people that if you can't practice your love with those nearest, it's even harder with those far away. If you cannot practice your love with those you love, you can't extend love towards those you don't like. When we practice love in action with our brothers and sisters, with our neighbors right next door, we practice a love that can extend from us in this small place to far beyond. But though Augustine speaks of practicing with our brothers and sisters, he says something else that I think fits us so well in Richmond in the 21st century. It describes us and the world beyond. He says, though we must practice with those closest to us, those who don't yet know, He says, though we must practice with those closest to us, those who don't yet know us have more call on us. Because not knowing us yet, they are not yet our enemies. By practicing love and virtue with those we know, but also with those we don't yet know, we extend love beyond our small circle. We make brothers of those who might be enemies, sisters of those we might hate. In the face of the world and in the face of prodigious evil, to practice love and virtue in our own small place seems such a small thing. And yet it is the only one thing we can do every day. Every one of us, no matter how old or how young. If we are old, perhaps a small act of kindness can influence the young. If we are middle-aged, perhaps practicing our virtues can remind us that there is meaning yet. If we are young, practicing virtue might inspire the old and teach the middle-aged. Augustine, speaking to people fighting in the streets with one another, tells them, "Nothing more sweet is preached to you, and nothing more wholesome drunk by you, that by this practice of godly living, ye confirm in you the gift of God." You confirm in you the gift of God by every act of kindness. In a world that seems struck with hatred, I ask that you remember those words only. Amen. And so we're going to sing "My Love Colors Outside the Lines." More voices, 138.